American author Suketu Mehta, known for his acclaimed book on Mumbai, Maximum City, has recently written about the burning issue of migration and immigrants, called This Land is Our Land, an Immigrants Manifesto. Today, we will chat to him about how crucial this issue is as Americans cast their ballot. Suketu, many thanks for being on our show.
Thank you for having me on.
Suketu, issues such as immigration, do they find resonance with the majority of people in the U.S.? Because this is a minority issue. Does that change things on the ground electorally?
I write in my book that fear of migration was the principal reason that Donald Trump came to power in 2016. He successfully frightened large numbers of Americans into voting for him because he created this bogeyman of Mexican robbers and rapists coming to the American heartland to steal our babies. And this Trump has in common with a range of populists around the world, whether it's Orban in Hungary, or Duterte in the Philippines, or Bolsonaro, or Putin. You know, there's the fear of outsiders. I mean, same thing with in India. You know, the BJP has been stoking fear of Bangladeshi migrants. Yes, the Republicans here have been stoking fear of Latino migrants. So immigration has loomed very large in American life and would have been the principal driver of the 2020 election if COVID hadn't happened. Now, COVID has replaced immigration, the single biggest domestic issue. It doesn't mean that immigration has gone away as an issue, and it's certainly not a minority issue because the majority feels strongly one way or the other about immigration. This country could not survive without immigration. Take a city like New York, where I live. 2 out of 3 New Yorkers are immigrants or their children. The economy of America, the cultural life of America, even the political life would grind to a halt if immigration stopped. The American exceptionalism is this, that it's a country made up of all the other countries.
Hmm. So, Suketu, you know, in an increasingly globalized world where people, if not more well-read, are more well-traveled, does it surprise you that an anti-immigrant sentiment can be whipped up this easily?
It doesn't surprise me at all, Maha, and that's because I live part of the year in North Carolina. I also take regular trips to the American heartland. So what happened in the late 20th and early 21st century in the country is that the white working class, which throughout the 20th century had just assumed that American prosperity would just go on and on, everyone would have a good union job and a mortgage and 2 cars in the garage, that kind of ended. It particularly ended in the 2008 financial crisis when millions of working class Americans lost their houses and their savings. And so there was this incredible anger. And at the same time, the money went upward to Wall Street, basically. The four richest people on the planet today, all men, own more than half of all human beings. That is more than 3.5 billion human beings combined. But there's been a huge upward shift of wealth. And these people are angry. They're mad as hell. What happened to their money? Who took it? Who stole it? And populists like Trump have been very successful in channeling this rage onto the newest and the weakest, the immigrants.
But, you know, politicians use populist agenda. We've seen that across the world and especially in recent times with electoral interests in mind. But how is it so easy to create these false perceptions? I mean, after all, people can see the reality for themselves. How do they get taken in by this populist agenda?
Well, they get taken in if they watch Fox News or Republic TV. You know, you are what you eat, and your brain is the information that it consumes. And if you watch Fox News for any length of time or listen to Rush Limbaugh, I mean, it's a completely alternate reality. And it's no accident this reality has been created. It's been created by the elites who stand to benefit from this kind of populism. Because, you know, it's what Hannah Arendt, the great philosopher, called the alliance between the mob and capital. In Nazi Germany, the same thing happened. The Junker aristocracy in Germany knew that people were mad as hell after the Great Depression, and they needed to channel their rage away from them and onto basically the visible face of capitalism, which is the Jews. So people are getting taken in, because now what happens is that the people who vote for Trump, they distrust the mainstream media, they distrust the New York Times and the Washington Post, and they get their news from not just Fox News, but a huge sort of ecosystem of conspiracy theories and just outright lies on things like 4chan and Reddit and 8chan and God knows what else. So this kind of information system is, they literally believe in the flat earth. There was a congressional candidate, a Republican congressional candidate from Georgia, who is a follower of the QAnon conspiracy theory, which claims that the Democrats are controlled by a bunch of satanic pedophiles. She also states that she believes that the earth is flat.
Hmm. So under these circumstances, Suketu, how important do you think is greater representation of people of color in U.S. politics specifically? And can Kamala Harris enthuse more people from South Asian descent to take a take the political plunge?
Yeah, Kamala Harris, I believe, is a game changer in American politics. She's not only the first South Asian woman to be a candidate for president or vice president, but she's also the first black woman to have this honor. And she's an inspiration to millions of people, particularly young girls like my niece Leah, who's 13, who met Kamala Harris and was inspired enough to tell her parents that, you know, she too will grow up and run for president. So she has shown kids, particularly children of color, particularly female children of color all across the country, mm-hmm. that it is possible that in this country, you know, we can claim it for mm-hmm. our own. We don't have to feed it to people who say that this country is for whites only.
Mm-hmm. So, but for all this, is it really more and more important now for Indian Americans to take part in the voting process?
So I have seen Indian American enthusiasm like never before. And right now I'm speaking to you from North Carolina, where my brother-in-law, Jay Chaudhry, is the first Indian American state senator in North Carolina history, and he is the whip, the chief whip of the Democratic Party. If the Democrats take back the state senate in North Carolina, then he will be majority there. So, you know, North Carolina is a state in the South. Few people would have thought this possible as late as the 1970s, when there was still segregation in large parts of the country. Young Indian Americans are taking their place in American politics. You know, they're not letting anyone tell them that they can't. And there are Indian American Congress people, there are people in the state, and now there's someone running for vice president. And it's the same thing with, you know, the campaign staff. That just about every day I'm on some Zoom event or the other, or they see artists or writers or journalists who are campaigning, almost all of us, for Biden. Because I think that, you know, we've realized that in this election, like, our very future depends on what happens on November 3rd. Our future as Indian Americans, as Americans, and our future as human beings. Hmm. Because we basically have the next 10 years to figure out what to do about climate change.
Hmm.
And with Biden in office, we'll have a much saner policy about climate change, and we actually have a hope of saving the planet itself.
Many thanks to Ketu Mehta for speaking with us, for giving us an insight into U.S. politics and the issues on which Indian Americans are likely to vote. Many thanks.
Thank you so much, Mehta.